The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Final hour has arrived. And we will continue with more of your calls. We've had a number of guests been to College World Series a couple of times, and we will continue to update you, although there's nothing really going on yet other than practices. It begins tomorrow, what, 2 Eastern, is that right? When Texas A&M takes on Oklahoma. So tomorrow, obviously, we'll have a lot more to say about that with 4 games over the next 2 games on Friday and Saturday. Let's get back to the calls. And Ollie is in Memphis.
Hey, hey Ollie. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Hey, yeah, man, I love your show as always. So
appreciate.
I want to respond to not one particular caller in general, but it seems to be the implication that most of these callers, not most of them, well, a lot of them, have about NIL is like they keep talking about the education they get and that should be enough. So let's say the college education costs $100,000, even $200,000, but these college athletes are getting millions, as they claim, from the NIL deals. What is wrong with that? It's the implication like they don't earn it. They're not worth it. These kids have worked their butts off, earned it by their production in high school, their social media presence. It's not 1989. It's 2022. These kids have a social media presence. They work hard at these things, and they've earned the ability to make that money. The other point is this point of, well, you're uncoachable, as one of your previous callers. And I've heard this before, because he's got $100,000 in the bank. What about college? What about baseball players that get drafted out of high school with million-dollar contracts? Are they uncoachable as well? Why aren't we in uproar about 18-year-olds going to baseball or hockey and they're making $1 million? I think it boils down to jealousy. Like, they feel like, well, it's not fair. You're 18 and a millionaire. Who cares, man? These kids work hard. They deserve it. Get it. And the last point, and I'm going to hang up, is about the haves versus the have-nots. Man, this has been going on forever. Alabama's athletic budget is dwarfed. Like, I think Nick Saban's own salary is what Jackson State's whole athletic budget is. Just his salary. This is bullcrap. These athletes are gonna. This is not gonna change. You're not gonna be able to put the toothpaste back in the tube. The only thing that you can probably do is say what Deion Sanders was talking about, how these kids are getting NIL deals, name, image, and likeness. But their name, image, and likeness is on nothing, so they're getting paid for nothing on that. That I see that they can correct. Other than that, it's capitalistic society. We're in America. Let these kids make money. Thanks, Paul.
Ollie, thank you. You make a lot of sense, and I think you represent a lot of people in saying that. I mean, there are some very strong lines of disagreement here. The problem is it's already happened. And the time to curtail it was years ago, not a year after. William in Maryville is next. King William, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Let me ask you a question about this Saban, Jimbo Fisher, I guess you'd call it the dust off. What was the timing of the Greg Sankey call to Fisher versus his text, versus his press conference,
okay. Versus
the email?
Yeah,
what was the timing of that?
And this is it's an important question, as we're seeing a lot of timelines today on the news. Saban spoke about, let's say, 10 o'clock on Wednesday night, a month ago. The next morning, Jimbo's press conference, I'm going to use Eastern time. Jimbo's press conference was at 11 Eastern. I don't know exactly what time the call was, but it was obviously before 11 o'clock. So it was sometime between, let's say, 9 and 10:30, because the news conference, it was only announced about an hour out. So and remember, Sankey was in New York flying back, so there wasn't a lot of A lot of free time during that stretch. I don't know the email timing, whether that was done. I'm assuming that was done before the press conference.
Well, you know, interesting question. The email, and I read the reports of it, was written by the president and the athletic director. And, you know, by all accounts and by my reading of it, it was very poorly worded. You know, it looked like it hadn't been reviewed. I mean, if I was going to send that email, I'd have it reviewed by general counsel. I'd have it reviewed by the PR people. I'd have it reviewed by the, you know, the college historian and the board of directors. And, you know, I'd have it reviewed by a lot of people to give different perspectives. But, you know, for instance, you know, they ask for what, sanctions and punishment against
Saban.
Okay, by
the way, I may have an answer for you. You're on a roll there, but let me I'm zipping through this, but I think I have an answer. It appears okay, I got thanks to the Tuscaloosa News. I was just somebody just sent me an article by Chase Goodbread so bear with me for a second. This is live. Okay. This is live, so this is not like local news where they're reading everything. The body of the letter was sent at, wow, you ready for this? Jimbo Fisher's press conference. I'm going to use Central Time now, okay, because this is when we're in Alabama and A&M.
I think this is important, Paul. This is important.
Okay. Jimbo Fisher's press conference begins at 10 a.m. local time in College Station. He ends at 10:19. At 10:29, Bjork sent the letter to Greg Sankey that you were just referring to.
That's exactly what I suspected.
I'll just read you a line from Goodbread, because he's been on here a couple of times, because I have not read this article until now. He said, Bjork had just heard his coach call Saban a narcissist with a God complex, suggested he should have been slapped as a child, and repeatedly called his ethics into question while offering nothing in the way of specifics. Then, according to Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News, he sends an email complaining about Saban's comments.
Well, okay, so he spent, think about this, Paul. Okay, let me give you a hypothetical, yeah. Paul, okay? And I've known you a long time.
Okay.
But let's say you are negotiating your contract with the general counsel at ESPN.
Right.
And in those negotiations, that general counsel, who happens to be the fraternity brother of the chairman, does something egregious toward you that he should have never done.
Right.
And you are outraged by it. But before you can respond, the chairman of ESPN calls you up and says, Paul, my buddy Bill shouldn't have done that. It was off the wall. But please don't take it public as a favor to me. Don't take it public. Let's keep it quiet. Let's keep it within our family. And you know what? I'll make it up to you. And it seems to me that you would think to yourself, well, you know, I'm going to get an extra 150 hours on the ESPN jet this year because I'm going to have some chits with the chairman.
You know about my deal, right?
I know. You've told me. But you know, think about this.
I've never been near that jet, by the way.
Sankey called
Southwest Airlines
Fisher and said, look, tone it, you know, do not react. And Fisher had an interesting moment because he could have said, wait a minute, my school wasn't excited about Texas coming in. We're going to be in some negotiations on scheduling and pods and divisions and stuff. And, you know, we might need a few chits with Greg Sankey.
Well, remember, William, so let me pause you for 1 second. Remember the temper tantrum that A&M threw after all that.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
They threw a temper tantrum, and they had a chance by not embarrassing Greg Sankey like Fisher did. They had a chance to put some money in the bank with him, And when Fisher went off on Saban, the AD and the president then over they you know, one thing about when you make a demand on somebody, if you over demand, you look foolish. And in that email, you know, number one, you know, they've made the Alabama University mistake, but number two, they didn't cite any rule, regulation, bylaw, precedent of the SEC to support, you know, a sanction or a punishment against Nick Saban. They didn't say pursuant to article such and such, Coach Saban should be sanctioned. They just said sanction him. And they look like fools because they over demanded without any proof that they were entitled to what they wanted.
Hey,
and I think what happened.
But you know something, William? You're right about everything, but I forgot something here. And you tell me if this matters or not. On the date that it happened, Ross Bjork gave an interview to Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. And this is after Jimbo Fisher made his comments. And he said that Nick Saban's comments violate SEC sportsmanship bylaws, and he has been in contact with Sankey. And he went on to say he called the comments a personal attack and suggested that Saban is lashing out because he is threatened. He said, this is personal. Do you remember that now? And
I don't remember that interview, but I remember
Bjork went on to say this. This is an interview. This is not a formal statement. He said, I don't know why Nick Saban would say that, except he's threatened. There is a saying, an emperor who loses their dynasty lashes out. Don't know where. Is that Shakespeare? Is that Icarus from Greek mythology? I don't know. King Lear. He seems to be making excuses. This is personal. Coach Fisher views this as a personal attack on his integrity and on Texas A&M's integrity. To have personal attacks to say that is the only reason A&M is recruiting well is wrong. So, I mean, I know that's not germane to the official complaint, but he went on to personalize it in that interview, though.
Well, I think what he was doing, and anybody that would send that email knowing it would be public after 10 minutes of reflection, to me is a fool. But I think what he was doing is he was trying to deflect criticism of Jimbo Fisher's rather emotional press conference meltdown by, you know, taking this mantle of, oh, according to the rules, Saban should have been sanctioned or punished. And if they'd have played it differently, they could have stayed quiet and let everybody else just go after Saban for what he said, and they could have let everybody else be the tip of the spear instead of stirring it up the way they did. Because I think what the AD and the president did was they were trying to deflect criticism from Jimbo Fisher. Now, you know, and another thing I thought about, Paul, is, the Walter Nolan recruiting story. You know, he was the kid that moved suddenly from West Tennessee to Knoxville, went to a high school that wasn't really one of the traditional East Tennessee football powers. He was the darling of East Tennessee high school football,
right?
You know, number one recruit in the country, and everybody assumed, I mean, he was living within a mile of Neyland Stadium, and everybody assumed he was going to go to Tennessee, and out of the blue he goes to Texas A&M with no prior connection. I think he was quoted as saying that if it'd been about NIL, he would have gone to Tennessee, but he wanted to go to win football games, and he picked A&M over, I think, Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee.
Right. William, I do remember. I hate to run. We're up against a break. We went long there because of all that information that we were disseminating. We are coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Ty is up next in Florida. Hello, Ty.
Hey, Paul. Good show today.
Thank you.
Couple things I wanted to talk about. First, I've been driving. I had to go up to Nashville on business. And when y'all started talking about the Red Lobster, I mean, I started cracking up so bad. I live in Santa Rosa Beach, which is the 30A area, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Sure.
And my grandmother, God bless her soul, she's passed away. But when she would come visit me for 2 weeks every year at the beach, and my grandmother from Georgia would make me drive her to Panama City so we could go to Red Lobster. And I mean, I like Red Lobster, but you're aware of the restaurants that we have in the Destin and Santa Rosa Beach 30A area. But it just always cracked me up. And y'all had me laughing so hard. It was a good memory and fun. But something else I wanted to talk to you about is, you know, this whole A&M class. And I understand it's an amazing class. But, I mean, how many are really going to start? I mean, how much of a difference is this going to make? And then the other point in there is, you know, what's going to stop these kids from taking the money and then develop their skills and then hit the portal to go somewhere that they can win a national championship?
Nothing. And we're already seeing that. You saw a player leave Ohio State to go to Alabama. You saw a player leave Georgia who, after winning a national championship.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's free agency in limited form.
I mean, there's no ties whatsoever that keep them from playing elsewhere the next year.
You're 100% correct. And by the way, you're making me even hungrier at that Red Lobster store. What was your grandmother's favorite? What was her go-to at Red Lobster?
You know, I think she liked the scampi. She liked the... She would get all types of things, but she liked the pasta with the lemon butter shrimp, and
that was good.
She loved.
I remember my wife's grandmother. I remember we would take her, and I liked it. I mean, I am not one for fried food, but I thought Red Lobster really had good seafood. I mean,
well, it's consistent.
Yeah,
you know, it's very consistent. The other thing that this was just a fun little thing that happened to me yesterday. Actually, I was in Nashville on business and a little bit of pleasure, but I went into Losers to go see some music, and I'm sitting at the bar enjoying the music, and a guy comes sits down next to me, and I look over, and I see this white beard, and I look up, and it is John Daly.
I mean, I saw John about a month ago. Is that not a sight to see in person?
It is. I mean, and he was fun. He was a nice guy. We didn't even really talk any golf at all, but we definitely talked some baseball and talked about Pittman, and he had his Arkansas T-shirt on, and very nice guy, funny. Enjoyed the music a little bit with him, but I just thought it was funny that I just happened to catch him right there. Never met him before. So.
No, I have met him over the years, and through our program here, we've become good friends. And I mean, I hear from him. He will, when he gets a chance, he'll pop a thought about the Razorbacks, and he is loyal and just an entertaining person and a good person too. He is really cool. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Houston is in Tennessee. Hello, Houston.
Hello, Paul. Just had a really quick question for you.
Of course.
With South Carolina's upcoming season, is there a possibility they could get 10 wins and go to a New Year's Six?
Okay. By the way, I love the enthusiasm, the optimism. I think Beamer is the coach for the moment. But my concern, and I'll be to the point here, is the schedule. I don't know where you find 10 wins to get to. So, let's rule out you're at Clemson. I'm not going along with that as a win. You got Georgia at home, and you might think that's a win, but I don't. Arkansas, I don't see you winning there. That's three games. A&M, I'm not going to go against you guys at home because you're a very good team at home. But you have Tennessee at home. You have Kentucky on the road. I do not see it. I can't find it.
And then one last thing. Is there a chance we upset either Georgia, A&M, or Clemson?
Yes. I know of those three, I would say A&M would be your best shot.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah. I think Georgia is going to be difficult to upset. I know the game's early, and I know a lot of people are upbeat, but I don't know why. I just seem like I've been to about three or four Georgia-South Carolina games in Columbia, and short of what happened 8 years ago, I haven't seen that since. We will take a break. We still have plenty of time for you to get in, and we'll talk to you in a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Great to have all of you here. And let's check out Brian in Knoxville. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about your alma mater, Tennessee, and your thoughts on how the season ended and what you think they're going to do moving forward.
I think everybody was disappointed, and I think some of us got carried away. Ultimately, I think this is just one of those blips that you hope to learn from. And I see only great things ahead.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I totally agree. Are you a fan of Tony Vitello?
Huge. And I know some people are maybe quibbling about that because I got on this rant the other day, and when you say something, you say it. It wasn't like I planned it, but I reacted in the moment. But I think he is a great coach, and when you are like he is, you can't dial it back. You're all in, and he got to this point by being that way, and he'll reflect just like Van Horn, I'm sure, reflected on last year on what went wrong. And in his case, it was maybe more injuries, but you recover from these things, and you make it your goal to rectify. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Austin is up next in Colorado. Hello, Austin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I don't claim Colorado. I'm from Arkansas. I'm just out here doing active duty service.
Well, that's great. We appreciate that.
Well, I had a question for you. I wanted to know what your thoughts on of Arkansas upsetting both A&M and Alabama this year. You think there's a possibility that could happen?
A&M is certainly a possibility. I don't see it with Alabama. Do you?
Well, I'll be honest with you. So after watching the game last year, because being an Arkansas fan my whole life, I've seen that we're the ugly stepchild of the SEC. And watching the Alabama game last year, to go and play Alabama and lose by a touchdown because I figured there's a couple bad calls and Arkansas is not supposed to beat Alabama. But I think
that game came down to an onside kick at the end. That was a really – I mean, Arkansas played brilliantly in that game, Austin, and you take care of yourself. But Arkansas beating Alabama this year? Legend is next.
They played brilliant and lost by 7.
They did play well.
Yeah, they played good. Know your role, Arkansas. Know your role. You got a decent quarterback, probably the second best at SEC West. But look at that Alabama defense, baby. Dallas Turner, Will Anderson Jr., 2-2, Jordan Battle, Kool-Aid, Eli Ricks, Malachi Moore. Come on. That's a Georgia defense from last year, baby. Let me spell it out to you football dummies. Arkansas's got no chance. You know, Paul got up this morning and looked at my life-size picture of Nick Saban and realized there was something missing, baby. So I went and got me a Sharpie, and I drew a Ronnie Van Zant black hat on him. And you know what he said? Woo! Woo! That's the Black Hat Mafia, Paul. You know, when you think of the Black Hat Mafia, the handsome one, DJ K-Dub, and, of course, the marvelous, great Paul Feinbaum, and the world heavyweight champion, the king of the Feinbaum colors. I'm talking about myself.
Of course.
Woo! You can't help but be envious of the Black Hat Mafia, baby. You can't help but be envious. And I heard during the first call of the day, this guy, PC Baby, from Jersey. Let me tell PC Baby something. That's not East Coast, baby. That's roadside buzzard with a sore throat. Nobody understands a damn thing you say it, dude. Call it squirrel out. Are you crazy? That's a heavyweight. Squirrel, rip them tea bags off and sell them to an Englishman for tea, dude. And call an Iron Man out. He'll shoot a damn thing of helium up your ass, and you'll be out over the Atlantic hoping that the Coast Guard find your ass. You better slow your roll, AC from Jersey, PC, baby, because you ain't ready for the heavyweights on this show, baby. And get them chestnuts out of your mouth so we can understand what the hell you're saying. Woo! It's the legend, baby. You better know your roll on this show, East Coast, Black Hat Mafia, baby. And hey, Paul, I heard you go Black Hat on Dabo the other day. What was that about?
Well, that's been going on a while, legend. I would have preferred you be with me next time that issue comes up.
Well, you know, us Black Hat brothers got to stick together as Godfather. I have officially appointed you my consigliere of the Black Hat.
Legend, but I want to ask you this because, you know, every time I talk to people, you know, Dabo's an Alabama guy. But is he really, in your mind, a certified Alabama guy?
No, after he graduated, it was over, Paul.
Well, remember, he worked there.
He was an average wide receiver. That's what
he did work there under Mike Dubose.
Oh, we've canceled that out, though. Dubose don't exist no more. That was an illusion. That don't go on no more. Let me tell you something, Clemson fan. Let me get down to it. Dabo's an Alabama guy. Paul Feinbaum is my consigliere on the Black Hat Mafia. Who do I agree with? Of course I agree with my consigliere. Let me tell you something, Dabo. The window has closed. Clemson, the window has closed. You're headed more towards a North Carolina State program than you are in Alabama. The window's closed and bolted, baby. Woo! It's over. Legend out, baby.
Man does not disappoint, does he? How about Clyde in Georgia? You are next up. Clyde, you there? Old Clyde didn't answer the bell. How about Wade, who is in Tuscaloosa? Hello, Wade.
Hey, Paul, how's your day going?
It's been great. Thank you.
Wonderful. Hey, quick question for you, Paul. And I got to say, I like Legend. I agree with everything he said. The revenge tour is coming, and may God have mercy on your soul if you're playing the Tide. But my question for you, Paul, is I needed your expert, unbiased opinion on who the greatest college football team is to ever play. Is it the 2019 LSU Tigers, who play 15 games and undefeated, but they play out-of-conference teams like Chattanooga, Georgia Southern, Texas, and so on? Or is it the Alabama team the following year, who, due to COVID, had to play an entirely all-SEC schedule, play 13 games, also go undefeated?
Wade, I think that's one of the most prickly questions I've ever had here, because that LSU team was unbelievable. Everyone knows that. But you have to look at the Alabama team a little bit differently because of what you said. That was a very challenging year, not only did they have an all-SEC schedule? They had their coach twice. Once was a false positive. Get COVID. They played the Iron Bowl without him. I'm not sure I'm ready to answer that question. I want to, because I've thought about it. And at one time I clearly was in the LSU camp, but I've had other people argue about Alabama's season. And you just have to weigh factors. It's not a straight apples to apples conversation.
Well, that's fair enough, Paul. I'm getting excited. As of right now, we're 78 days, 18 hours, 18 minutes, and 42 seconds from kickoff. So
I can't wait. Wade, thank you very much. And I know I-Man up in the attic is counting it down as well.
Toys, toys, toys in the attic, toys. How about that? You like that, Paul? See the way I pulled that together?
That was good.
Your little toys in the attic. You know, I agree with Legend on his call. There's always these newbie people that come in, and they try all kinds of little gimmicks and tricks. Uncle Paul, Coach Feinbaum, you know, brother. I mean, you know, they try all these little tricks to elbow themselves into the big boy locker room. And I tend to ignore them. And I've been listening to this one cat with this accent, and he's not worthy of my time. I mean, I appreciate the fact that Legend, you know, kind of handled that and stood shoulder to shoulder with all the big boys in the big boy locker room. And you know, you can wear daddy's trunks, but you got to tie a knot in the back, kind of like Jim does when he comes in, when he tries to come in. Paul, am I saving your show today?
Hell yes, I'm saving your show. You know why? Because I am the show-stopping saver. I'm the show-stopping saver. I am the anchor back to the good old days. How about that? Live from the capital city. It's just so easy a caveman can do it, Paul. It's just so easy because it's willy, willy damn easy. War damn eagle.
You can tell I'm in fixing a lot of air conditioning today in Montgomery. we will come right back. A few minutes remaining. Don't you dare leave.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
We are back. A few minutes remaining, and Rob in Omaha. Good afternoon. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Paul. We're looking forward to a festive weekend here. I can't remember any time where Texas them, Arkansas and Oklahoma fans by the thousands have all been in one place where there was a lot of bars.
Okay. Yeah, it's all fairly concentrated there, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It could be quite the show down there. I'm going to both games tomorrow, and I'm pretty excited. My question for you is about your callers, specifically the Alabama callers, and a lot of their commentary about Texas A&M. I'm a grad from there, and since A&M joined the SEC, with the exception of a couple teams, really hasn't accomplished anything. They've had two teams that finished, I think, fifth, and actually going back a couple decades, really have done nothing but underachieve. So my question for you is, why are you getting so much attention from Alabama fans right now? I have a theory, but I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, I think it deals with the present, the recruiting prowess, and that concerned Nick Saban and others. But I am more interested in your opinion. I hear mine all the time.
Well, if I was an Alabama fan, I wouldn't be paying any attention to A&M at all. I'd be a lot more worried about a whole bunch of other schools in the conference that have achieved a lot more recently. But the only conclusion I can draw is that it's fear of A&M's ability to weaponize their resources due to the NIL ruling.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes sense to me.
I think you're right about that. And I think if you freeze frame the moment, Nick Saban, and that's all he's thinking about, you know, he's seeing what they're doing. He knows the kind of money. He knows the passion. He knows the desire. And I think he's also probably, sorry about this cough, curious about Texas, because Texas and A&M both are similar in resources, although Texas probably has significantly more resources. So beyond that, I think he knows, at least recently, Georgia is the school he's probably been more concerned about from a recruiting standpoint. But when you see Texas A&M go out there and well, land the number of five stars, it's an eye-opener.
It's enjoyable because we usually don't get nearly as much attention as we are right now. So thanks to all your callers that seem to be obsessed. I listened to the guy for 10 minutes psychoanalyze the timeline of press conferences and emails, and who cares? But great show. Love listening to you. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Rob. Enjoy the games out there tomorrow. Reed is in Dallas. Hey, Reed, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
I'm a Midwest man living in Big 12 and SEC country here in Dallas. I bleed maize and blue. I'm a diehard Michigan fan. I was in attendance along with 110,000 when Michigan beat the heck out of Ohio State in Ann Arbor this year.
I
just want to know your view on Michigan and the Big Ten in general going into next year. I know you're a big SEC guy, so I'd like to hear your stance on the Big Ten.
I think Michigan will have a good year. I think they're built, even with the losses on defense, to have another good year. I do think it's Ohio State's year, though. I think they are loaded. And I think they are scary loaded. Especially,
they got a scary offense for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the defense is in better shape. I think Michigan's in good shape after that, and there are a number of other schools that I think have a shot. The one thing about Michigan that I'm a little bit concerned about in the new era of NIL. And that is the commitment. And this may sound crazy, but I don't need to give you a primer on that administration and the balance of academics and athletics, because it's different than a lot of other schools, including Ohio State.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I never want to say publicly, well, they need to care more about athletics, because that's not what a university should be about. But Michigan has always cared about that research part of it, and they have. I mean, that I've seen the numbers. You know what I'm talking about. The money on the research side of Michigan is staggering.
Yeah, but I've seen them make steps with the NIL, and I'm not saying they're up there with the Alabamas and the Clemsons and Ohio States and all that. But I feel like they're making good steps in terms of bringing in the five stars and stuff like that. I know it's the NIL is a tough scene to navigate, but I just wanted to hear your opinion on
Reed, I feel pretty good, and I had a long time tug of war with Harbaugh, but you know, I thought he was impressive last year.
And
the only thing I didn't like was the dalliance with the Vikings, but that was a one day story. I don't think it really
that happens every year.
Fortunately for him, it didn't do any permanent damage, although he looked really silly. We're done. We'll see you tomorrow for a preview of the World Series in Omaha. Have a good night.